This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
6:10 in the morning, 720 WGN. We're standing by for Paul Conrad in just a few seconds here. Did you pay your taxes? Today is your amnesty day.
Oh, I almost forgot. Is it today?
It is today.
You got a big refund,
I heard.
Oh, yeah.
Big.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if I can buy coffee this
morning. Okay. Yeah. Hey, any refund is a good refund.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, today, extended of the taxes. If you haven't paid them, get them in. You have till midnight. Otherwise, you're going to have to file an extension. You filed your taxes, Mr. Cochran? Got everything done? Big refund coming back, or you're going to have to owe?
Well, I've got a fat check I'm writing to the IRS.
Yeah.
I always appreciate my support of the government because, you know, that sponsor a road program. I think I just bought the Kennedy when I first sent mine in this morning.
We'll need some cleaning up.
Well, whatever. I own it now.
Can you do something about the congestion, too?
Can I do something about what?
The congestion on the Kennedy.
You know, I just did a drop at O'Hare. Am I naive? Is Monday morning like 5 o'clock on a Friday on the Eisenhower at
yes.
O'Hare?
Bad.
It's always bad. Everybody's going to the airport.
At 5 in the morning?
Yes.
Three lanes. Three lanes.
Wow. Did you take my express lanes coming back?
They were closed.
The Dave Ennett Memorial Express lanes.
Paul Conrad, ready? Go.
Friday forecaster. I got my buddy Nicholas Newbern from St. Clement School here in Chicago. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Nice to see you again. I understand that you come from kind of a difficult household, a difficult childhood, and you've got a crisis situation going on.
Yeah. My parents are Packer fans, sadly, for all of...
Yeah, they're Packer fans.
Yeah, that's a big problem,
obviously. It is a big problem. So what went wrong for them, do you think?
I'm not sure. I think my mom is from Green Bay, she definitely has a problem.
The Bears. The Bears.
Ah, Paul and the adorable children. You draft that kid? Good morning, Paul. It's working out great so far. Paul, are you there? All right, you've been listening to our regular Monday visit with Paul Conrad.
So did you pay your taxes?
Yeah, really. Let's see. Let's do that and this, and it's 6:13. Anyway, we'll check with Paul and see if he's been committed to some sort of a debtor's prison here on bonus tax day. Get your taxes in today. The president of Ecuador was here a week and a half ago, and now Ecuador is in a great deal of trouble because of an earthquake over the weekend that hit 7.9 on the Richter scale. It is the largest earthquake in decades, death toll at 275 and rising rapidly, and it's bad all over. So we'll let you know how you can help those folks later. And after 7 o'clock, we're going to talk with Carlos Lennon. I'm going to get the pronunciation later. Jose? Whew, not even close. Consul General of Ecuador here in Chicago. Hawks gift cards to give away later. Ron Majors later. Ron announced his retirement. And Dr. Kevin Most this hour, all coming up at 6:13. Let me go back to Paul. What happened? Where were you?
I got lost.
Well, where were you?
I was listening to Larry go on and on about his vacation. And I forgot that I had this hit.
Because of the every other Monday or the every Monday thing we do? That was the confusing part for you?
Yeah. Sometimes I get lost.
You think Larry was jealous?
In my own house I get lost.
You think Larry was jealous because I don't talk to him on Mondays?
Right. He was a little jealous.
Hey, Paul, let's talk about me.
He's high maintenance.
Did you get your taxes in yet?
I did, yeah. They were already rejected.
That's not how it works.
I know.
No, that's not how it works.
I got to figure out what I did wrong.
They don't get a rejection letter from the IRS.
Yeah, I got one already.
What, please resubmit it another time.
We have all we need. You forgot to send this form in or something like that.
Here's the thing. You know, the system is so screwed.
I hate the government.
Well, I don't hate the government.
I do.
But the system is so screwed because, you know, you go through an entire year and you get to the end of the year. And you have to hire someone who's clearly smarter than you
right.
to figure out what you don't know to tell you that you have to write a check.
That should be illegal. It should be because you're getting shamed, and my feelings should matter more than that. And the fact that the government is involved with that, shame on them.
The first job I had that I moved away for was in Charleston, South Carolina. I'm writing a check to the IRS today that's more than I made that year.
Right. That's always disheartening.
I mean, it just seems like every, you know, it's not like I get to keep all the money during the year.
Right.
But do you know what that is?
So here's the deal. take more, IRS. Take more during the year so we don't have to do this every April.
Yeah. Well, isn't that your decision?
Yeah, I suppose.
Here's the thing. You feel so good about the fact that they're using the money so wisely.
Yes,
you
want
to throw in an extra couple, $5 and just say, hey, listen, you guys are doing such a great job, and you're not taxing me out the shoot hole enough. Let's go ahead and give me a little bit more.
And I feel badly because I was going to give it all to Springfield because they spend it wisely.
Right.
And now I won't be able to do that.
Right.
So,
right.
How was your weekend?
It was really something else. I tell you what, I was running.
What does that mean?
Running solo, Mrs. Conrad. Back visiting her motherland.
Oh, in Russia.
Yeah, and so Poland.
Oh, Poland.
And
sorry.
I got.
Well, Jake and Mary don't know this, or Sandberg, because if I say Mary, you guys will get confused. Sandberg and Jake, the producers, don't know this, that Paul's wife, Svetlana, was a mail order bride.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was great for the first, I don't know, 3-4 years until she started to learn the language, and then boom!
Now suddenly she's got to get out of the house.
And she realized she can leave the house.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
How'd she do with taxes?
That's why I'm having to resubmit them or whatever I got to do.
I love that you got a rejection letter from the IRS.
Right.
Maybe she's not coming back.
Yeah, she likely. It's a problem. But I had 4 baseball games, a daddy-daughter dance, and a
daddy-daughter baseball practice. Great. So I remember the last daddy-daughter dance I had. There's a point after the last Madonna song, and it's 15 minutes into the dance where you go into the men's room, and it's nothing but dads leaning over sinks going, holy crap, I'm tired. How long do we have to do this?
Right.
When did they start the whole daddy-daughter dance thing? Because we never did that.
Probably the 90s.
I don't know. This is my 7th year.
Oh, so it was post me.
Your 7th year?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've got a deal with my daughter, and this is how I have figured out this. So I'd like to keep doing this with her forever.
By the way, you're right? About to miss a sport.
Yeah,
or screw it. Whatever.
I can't do it all.
Yeah.
So I just told her, listen, if you agree to do this with me till you're 20, I'll give you a bag of candy each year.
Wow, isn't that nice?
And she's bought into it. I've got the paperwork drawn up. I just sent it in. It was rejected by the IRS, but... I got a deal with her. So.
Well, that's sweet. That's very nice. I'm glad you did that.
Yeah. It's the favorite part of my year.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Two All girls, right. You know.
Well, here's a hug. Come here. All right, everybody.
All right.
Get off to work. Get off to work.
Right, get going.
Okay, see you later.
Big smoochies.
Yeah, okay, bye-bye.
See you when I get
Tell
home.
Larry to leave you alone.
All right. Change the sheets if you wouldn't mind, though.
Okay, now I got weird. It's 6:18.
Do all this research on the perfect car.
What? Hello. What happened there? 6:18. Was that you, Dave?
It was E5. If you're scoring at home.
Can you tell it's Monday? Because so far we're flawless. A couple of stories on the weekend you might have missed. Trump's calling Hillary Crooked Hillary. She says she doesn't care. Trump doesn't expect violence if he wins a Republican presidential nomination. Well, you promised us violence. A zoo employee was killed by an endangered tiger she dedicated her life to at a Florida zoo. Palm Beach Zoo and Conservation Society spokesman said the tiger was everything to her. And Stacy... Conweiser, 38, was killed in an incident Friday when a male Malayan tiger in the Tiger Night House, which is in the back of the tiger exhibit, for reasons unknown, attacked. They were preparing for the Night House for the evening routine, which includes cleaning and feeding at the time. Investigation continues. Prince William and Kate visit the Taj Mahal in India. Do you see Kate playing cricket? She was pretty good.
I didn't see her playing cricket. Yeah,
She went downtown.
And she had wedgies on, too. Wedges.
Shoes.
Wedges shoes, yes.
Oh, I thought that was something to happen on the trip. She got a wedgie.
No, I didn't mean to say wedgie.
Can you give a future queen a wedgie? Would she be the queen?
It wouldn't be appropriate.
She would be the next in line
king
to be
of the queen.
Queen,
right?
When the queen dies, it would go to Prince Charles, and if it doesn't go to him, it would go to William.
King, but would the wife be the queen?
Yeah,
is that how
yes.
It works?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm not. Stop yelling.
Hello. Don't you want to stop nabby? No, I don't
Should we
I
get Mr. Coit on the phone?
No, he wouldn't know.
No, she becomes queen.
John Legend and Chrissy Teigen had a baby daughter that they named anyone?
Anyone?
Oh boy. I know what.
Let me just see if I can throw you a hint. They named it after flooring.
Tile?
Flooring?
Tile.
Tile's not the name, but you're on the right track.
Linoli
is just silly. No, Luna. Luna.
Seven.
Simone seven, Stevens.
Luna means moon, too.
Yes.
In Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Not in Chicago.
That means Luna in Chicago.
That poor girl. She's going to think she's nuts all the time.
Luna Simone Stevens. What do you think she'll go by, Simone?
Don't you love that name?
Cool. Simone's
a beautiful
pretty.
Name. You know, yeah. I have a question of names. You said she should go by Simone.
Yeah.
How come sometimes parents give their kids like this awful first name, a cool middle name, and then the kid goes by the middle name? I mean, I know at least three people have done that.
I believe I know the answer to this.
Okay.
Tradition for the first name with an acceptable middle name that they're fully expecting the kid will use.
Ah, I see.
So you can say, I named my son or daughter after the grandfather, the grandmother, the aunt with all the money, whatever.
Yeah.
And then they go by the middle name, don't you think?
I mean, I would think so, yeah, respect. But you can also give the awful first name as a middle name, too. That way they never have to use it.
The first name is a middle name. Well, that's kind of what we did with Ross.
What's his middle name? Do you want to say it?
Well, no, it was dressed up. My dad's name was Ralph Albert.
Okay.
I wasn't going to name Ross Ralph or Albert. But wanted some sort of tribute, so we gave him the initials. So Ralph Albert became Ross Adam.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was close, and we cheaped out that way. The Clarence Thomas movie with the woman from Scandal, what's her name?
Kerry Washington.
Kerry Washington plays Anita Hill in the movie. That's coming out. So now all of Clarence Thomas's old friends are coming out, including an ex-girlfriend who over the weekend claimed that he wanted threesomes with all of his colleagues. Maybe that's why he's so quiet.
Kerry Washington's a great actress, too, by the way. Even if whether you like Scandal or not, she's a really good actress.
So ridiculous.
I know.
She murdered somebody with a pot last week or something. She beat somebody's head in.
You know, it's got to be
not just somebody, the former vice president.
It's got to be a Shonda Rhimes thing, because Grey's Anatomy is so dumb off the charts now, too.
Well, supposedly they're starting to make fun of themselves, because I saw a clip. My whole world is clips now. I don't see shows, I see clips. And the clip I saw was somebody that's a new doctor on Grey's Anatomy going, has anyone noticed that all the doctors on the show are hot?
Yeah, and they're all dating each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone. Nobody
I don't know how anybody has time for medicine. And I've talked to Dr. Most about this, you know, whether or not it goes on at his hospital.
All the dating and...
Yeah, Northwestern Medicine, mm-hmm. In fact, every day. Turns out it does.
No way.
Of course it doesn't. The missing 28 pages from the 9/11 report will continue to be news this week. Keep an eye on that. 28 pages, a story that 60 Minutes broke a week ago, that were redacted and hidden by federal mandate. And the question is, do those 28 pages directly implicate the government and the royal family of Saudi Arabia and a member of the royal family in supporting the hijackers of 9/11? And if so, why would we hide them, and why didn't we go after Saudi Arabia along with Afghanistan? All of that goes back to the Bush-Cheney White House and goes through the Obama-Biden White House. What did they know? When did they know it? And why were they keeping quiet if, in fact, it was true? This is like Hillary not talking about her speeches. This is like any politics story where you go, well, we can't talk about it because it's, you know, a matter of government security. And it may well be, but the longer it waits, the more it becomes the Pentagon Papers.
It's unbelievable. Pentagon. Panama Papers.
There were Pentagon Papers. That was a long time ago.
Don't you remember after Iraq after 9/11 and after the war in Iraq, Saudi Arabia's name did surface, and then it just kind of quietly...
Because we're focused on Iraq
and Afghanistan. Yeah,
all the hijackers are from Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. Not that hard a tie, right? Chaos in Cleveland still predicted, so we don't have to get too upset about that. And the governor of Alabama, who is in the midst of a sex scandal, the helicopter for the governor was sent back to get the governor's wallet because he had to buy something to eat at the cost of the taxpayers of Alabama. You think Illinois has got issues? Alabama, holy mackerel. It's 6:28. Let's take a break, come back. Dr. Mo straight ahead on 720 WGN.
Woke up after midnight, both my neck and arms were sore. On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before. And I wish that there was someone I could call. The WGN hotline. I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Got a throat thing going on. A little throat
really?
Thing. Having said that, the first half hour of the show, not great, so you better be really good.
Really? What
yeah.
happened?
That's me.
Off the tracks already?
No, it's me. I did a drop at O'Hare this morning. You know, I Uber in my spare time.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't. I'm the only one on the planet apparently didn't realize Monday mornings at Uber at O'Hare were busy. It was nuts. It's like Friday night on the Kennedy or the Eisenhower. It's nuts.
So a little tardy this morning?
Well, no, I rolled in right at the top of the show, which, of course, is about the time I normally roll in. But, you know, I got my man has a throat, as Sammy Davis Jr. used to say.
Yeah.
You know, worked all weekend, had to work with Dave yesterday, and he was now hungover. Big surprise there.
No, that's not true.
So,
man,
you
Doc,
know,
that's not true.
Hawks lost. I got problems, Doc. I got a lot of issues.
Yeah.
But let's talk
we'll
about.
Work through some of them.
Let's talk about what really matters. You know, we lost Kevin Paul to the Ro Khan show because Kevin turned out to be, you know, a star. And he's doing great. But in honor of Kevin Paul, Doc wanted to do a food segment in part today, and I thought that was a really good idea. So talk to me about food.
Yeah, you know, we always heard Kevin's, you know, reviews of all these fast food places.
Sure.
So I thought,
sure.
you know, let's take the medicine side of food and tell you kind of what's going on, what's new in the health-related field about food. And some interesting things happened last week. Probably one of the more interesting things, I think, happened on Friday, where the FDA approved the ability for manufacturers to add folic acid to masa flour. And you say, wow, that really sounds interesting, Dr. Mose.
Well, it's interesting. You know, you're going to make it interesting because you're going to tell us why.
Yeah. Well, folic acid is a B9 vitamin, very important in pregnant females to prevent things like spina bifida and other neural tube defects. So very important. As a matter of fact, someone gets pregnant, it's one of the first medications we're going to put them on is a multivitamin with high folic acid. What we did in this country in 1998 is we put folic acid in almost all of the other grains and rices and pastas to make sure that we all got enough folic acid in our diet. One of the ones they overlooked was the masa flour, which is made to use tortillas. Because of this, we saw a big increase in Hispanic neural tube defects in their children. More cases of spina bifida. 2012, March of Dimes says, hey, we got to add folic acid to masa flour. And the FDA finally approved it last Friday.
So, all right, so it is a big deal.
It is a huge deal. And people aren't really going to know it. But, you know, for us in the medical field, it's kind of the geeky thing. But it's kind of cool that it finally occurred. And now we're going to get some protection for these young babies that are going to be born many less with spina bifida.
Well, you know, we talk about the Zika virus and direct effect on moms and babies and stuff. This is a big deal. Folic acid in leafy green vegetables, fruits, beans, and rich bread, cereals, grain products. Pretty much most of the stuff you eat, I guess, right?
That's where you find it. You know, and pregnant females sometimes will not have access to those foods or don't have access to those foods or they're not eating.
Or not enough of them.
Exactly. You can eat some, but we really need to make sure that you have a pretty substantial dose of folic acid through pregnancy. So it's great news. I'm glad the FDA finally moved on it. Kind of disappointed it took them as long as it did, but they moved on it, which is great.
It is hard to believe a government agency took a long time to get something done.
Right.
Nestle's in the food business. Nestle's in the food medicine business.
Yeah. So Nestle's came out last week as well and said, hey, you know, we're going to put a whole bunch of money into something called medicinal foods. So we think of Nestle's and people think of Nestle Crunch Bars and some of the candies, but they're also big in the health-related field. They make some great supplements for people who have low nutritional intake and who need high-calorie intake at certain times, chemotherapy patients, patients after surgery who need more nutritional input for wound healing. What they're looking at now is going into the medicinal food business. So instead of you taking a blood pressure pill, you are going to take a powdered drink. So what they're doing is they're looking at the genetics.
So like blood pressure, Nestle's Quick?
Exactly. Lower cholesterol, Nestle's Quick.
That's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
It is unbelievable. And they feel that as we age, this is just going to be a huge, huge business. So they're investing a ton of money to look at the genetics of all these diseases and try to figure out what food they can make that will replace a medicine that you're currently taking. And if you think about that...
It's pretty smart, actually.
It is. It's very smart. You're going to get your nutritional input. You're not going to have to pay for your medication. And hopefully, it's going to be a more healthy way to get the medicine in you than the pill forms that we're taking now.
Well, that would be the question, right? The distribution of it. In other words, taking the pill, I know it's going into my body and it's directly made to impact the system in a certain way. Does the processing of the food with the medicine as part of the food, does that impact the delivery system for the medicine? And that's the questions that I suppose they have to answer, right?
Yep. That's the uphill battle they have right now, is how are they going to prove some of this? So... will we see it in our lifetime? Hopefully, but it is going to be an uphill battle there to get that all that information, do those tests, and to prove that their thought process is correct.
All right, what about all the calorie listings on the fast food boards? You know, you like to roll into a fast food joint, you go through the drive-thru, you just want to order your crappy food, and you don't want to feel worse about it. You want to wait till after you eat it that you feel like you're a terrible person. And the fast food calorie thing, you know, if you look at those, you're going to go, wow. I really don't need to do this. Was that the goal when they originally put those calorie things up to make people be smarter about it?
Well, that was the goal. So you hit it right on the head there. If you remember, not even a couple of years ago, the calories weren't up there. So now you look up there and you see what your Big Mac has or your Whopper or whatever you're ordering, and next to it is the calorie thing and next to it is the price. The hope was that people would look at that and say, okay, now I'm going to make a wise choice based on the calories, knowing how many calories I need to take in a day, how many should I have in this meal? That's kind of backfired. It really didn't change. It really didn't make much of an impact.
Well, but isn't that part of it, though? I don't knock McDonald's. McDonald's is one of America's great companies.
Yep.
And there are choices you can make in McDonald's. You can't eat at McDonald's 3 times a day, 7 days a week. You just can't. But if you go to McDonald's occasionally, you're not a terrible person.
Now,
if you engage in this McDonald's all-you-can-eat fries story that's out today, that's a different story. But McDonald's gets knocked. But by the time you roll into the drive-thru lane, you've already made a choice that you're going to eat there. And there's a limited number of menu choices, right? So it's not like you're not going to order something. So I'm not surprised that these haven't had huge impacts. People are going to go, okay, I know I'm eating a quarter pounder. I'm going to do it anyway.
I actually look at the calories for Starbucks. You know, if you go in and if you want oatmeal or a breakfast sandwich, I will look and see which has fewer calories and sometimes get that.
Do they put, I don't drink coffee, but at Starbucks, do they put the calories with the drinks too?
They normally do it with the food items. You know, if you get breakfast sandwich,
right.
If people knew
what they were doing with the drinks, then there'd be problems.
That's a good point. I think they do it with the foo-foo drinks as well, like the caramel macchiatos. I think they do it, yeah.
Right, but you get the basic numbers because you can't really figure out what's added or not added.
Yeah, because you might add different, you know, two shots or something like that. Yeah.
Doc, you still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm just listening
to
you guys.
My cousin, though, always says, Doc, that she's a personal trainer. She says you can't exercise off a bad diet.
That's interesting.
Can you?
That's an interesting way to put it. Yeah, well, you probably negate some of it, but you're not doing yourself any favors, I suppose, right?
No, and actually what you just said right there is exactly what they're trying to do in Britain and in England right now, is try to teach people that you can't, or teach people, hey, you're going to make this food choice? Let me tell you how long it's going to take you to work this off.
All right, now hold that thought because I want to come back to this. Yep. Mary's got to do traffic, and we'll come back with Dr. Most in a second. Dr. Kevin Most, later the story of all-you-can-eat fries at McDonald's. What a terrible idea that is. In the middle of this conversation about food and what to do with it. So, Doc, if I understand what you're saying correctly, I'd roll in to order the Big Mac, say. Did you know, by the way, I've never had a Big Mac?
I don't think I have either.
I haven't. In my entire life, I've never had a Big Mac.
Never?
Not once, no. You know, I'd have a quarter pounder with cheese a couple times a year.
Yeah.
But not a Big Mac. So anyway, that's not the point of this. Next to the Big Mac, it would say it'll take 45 minutes of cardio to work this off, lard ass. It would say something like that.
Exactly. So what they're saying in England is, and they have the same problem we have here, you know, increasing rates of obesity, increasing rates of diabetes. You know, it's saying, hey, we did all these things. We tried to post calories. That didn't work. We tried to decrease trans fats. That hasn't worked. We tried to decrease sugar. Let's put a little information there that actually might hit home, because seeing how many calories are in something you eat, doesn't mean anything to anybody unless, like Andrea, you just said, you just look to choose something lower. You know, if we knew exactly what that meant and the pain that you would have to go through to burn that off, we think that people will make smarter choices.
Will these restaurants ever go for that? Because it's just hilarious to me to think you go into Taco Bell and there's the picture of the quesalupa or whatever you're going to order.
Yep.
And next to it is like a little cartoon running man that says, "Are you sure?"
Exactly. So in England, they've been working on this. It came out last week that this isn't going to end up being voluntary. They know that now. So now they're asking the government to step in and say, you must do this.
Wow.
Just like they said, you know, you must post these. And, you know, that for someone that has a national health policy and has socialized medicine, essentially, if I'm the government, I probably want that. You know, I want people to start to make smarter choices.
Well, what do they know in England? They eat mushy peas, for crying out loud.
Very true.
All right, before... I was going to say, before we run out of time, yep, I want you to make sure you hit this food fragile households topic,
yep,
because these are kids who are not getting enough nutrition in the day to grow up and be healthy, and we're creating a generation of people that are going to need. It's your old adage, Doc, pay me now or pay me later. We either take care of nutrition now or we're going to pay for it down the road.
Absolutely. And we some people don't even realize that this happens. People sitting next to you in church, the kids that go to school with your kids, many, I mean, 48 million people live in what we now determine to be called food insecure homes. That means that they either don't have enough food, or run out towards the end of the month. We used to say, how many people go to bed hungry in this country? And now we're looking at it saying, you know, it's not so much that, it's really how many households do we not have enough food that we can nutritiously feed these individuals so that they can stay healthy. So we're talking about Big Macs and all that. We need to realize that there's a bigger problem here, and that we still have many people, 48 million people in this country, can't get enough food.
Who do we donate to? Local food bank, that type of thing?
Yeah, you know, there's, and if you have any local food banks that you know, I mean, out here, our medical staff, we donate to two food banks, People's Resource Center in Wheaton and the West Chicago Food Bank. And I'll tell you, when you go into these places, and even if you, you know, we give them a pretty substantial check every year, but when you go into these people, I can tell you I've made a friendship with a guy in West Chicago, Ken Walker, probably one of the greatest guys in the world, heart of gold, and the things that he does and the impact that he makes in these individuals who can't afford food is unbelievable. And we also have to realize that there's a lot of companies behind this. You know, Andrea was just talking about Starbucks. Starbucks announced last week 50 million meals they're going to donate over the next 5 years. So those scones that are sitting there and those rolls, as they get to a point of, hey, you know, we want to take these off, they don't throw them away anymore. They go to a food bank.
Well, that's what I was just going to ask, and I'll let you go on this because we're tight on time. But
yep,
there was always a problem in Chicago specifically for restaurants at the end of the night to be able to donate food that they would toss because it was cooked food that they couldn't use for whatever reason.
Yep. Yeah.
And there was restrictions. You couldn't donate it to a homeless shelter because for a while restaurants were cited for that. You know, they'd have regular pickups by these shelters. Why can't we figure that problem out?
But that's a tough one. You know, that is one where the, you know,
Is it a we'll make you sick kind of thing?
Exactly.
It's a health thing, yeah, with the health department.
But why? Isn't that overthinking it?
Miller's Pub years ago used to do that, too. Give all the meat and the roast beef and everything, you know, to, I think, it was one of the shelters.
So the idea is if somebody gets sick at the shelter, they can sue the restaurant?
Hypothetically,
yeah. Christ, on a bicycle. Let's get more lawyers involved. Can't we help?
Yeah, and, you know, really, everyone just out there, a simple $25 donation to your local food bank is going to feed a family of four for 2 to 3 days.
Yeah, I mean, help how you can.
And think about how much you spend going to dinner.
Beat the system. When the system won't help themselves, beat the system. Donate and do something. You feel good about it. And you're right. $25 is a big damn deal.
Yep.
So, all right, buddy. All the best.
You got it. Talk to you soon.
Dr. Kevin Moe, Saving the Show, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Impact every day.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
A national emergency is declared after a devastating earthquake in Ecuador's coastal regions. Measuring 7.8, it's the strongest in decades.
A fair amount of areas along the coast that are even incommunicado right now, but social networks report collapsed buildings, hundreds even, and mayors from coastal towns have requested urgent help.
It was just maybe two or three small tremors over the past 2 or 3 months. So we supposed it was just one of those, and maybe that's why there was a slow reaction.
Hard not to think about President Rafael Correa. A little more than a week ago, was sitting here with us. We're having some laughs talking about the beauty of Ecuador, which a large portion of Ecuador has been devastated by this massive earthquake. And we're pleased to have the ability to connect with Carlos House, Consul General of Ecuador here in Chicago, to see what we can do to help. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing fine, and I'm very sorry about what's happened. What can you tell us, and what can we do to help?
Thank you very much for your sympathy. Actually, yes, we are really sad and moved because of this tragedy. As you know, a 7.8 magnitude earthquake is devastating everywhere. But in Ecuador, in specific, we have a large portion of the country, specifically in the coastal region, that has been almost completely destroyed. As for now, we are focusing on the rescue of the survivors.
Right.
We are asking the friendly countries to help with people that are specialized in rescue missions, because this is our priority as for now.
What sort of ability do you have to get heavy equipment into that area?
Yeah, precisely, this is our challenge. For now, 15,000 people have been already sent to the affected area, including soldiers and officers from the armed forces, the police officers, and Red Cross volunteers. But still, we still need more help on that area. We have our death toll, unfortunately, has risen to 272 people now, and over 2,000 people have been reported injured. So what we are focusing now, as I said, is precisely on try to find survivors, you know, that are still under the debris.
Right, because there's a belief there are people still alive that can be rescued.
Exactly. So basically, the next hours are crucial.
Carlos, how are people, I know a lot, there's a lot of Ecuadorians in Chicago, how are they getting a hold of family, or how are they able to?
That's a very good question. Thank you very much. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs has set up a phone line for free calls that the Ecuadorian people can use if they are experiencing problems reaching out their family in Ecuador. As you know, the affected areas specifically, they had problems with telecommunication, especially during the first hours after the earthquake. So this line is the 1-844-668-4543. You can call for free, and they will have they will receive assistance in order to reach out their family members if you haven't been able to connect with them so far. Also, what we suggest to the community is that they look for official information only in the official websites of the entities in charge of the emergency, which is very important in order to avoid, information that are not accurate or even panic, especially in the social media and the social networks.
So, yeah, we don't want to shut down the ability for the people that need the system to use this system. So following these paths, and we will put this out on our own social media as well. The Ecuador Red Cross and UNICEF and World Vision are also good places as well to donate, correct?
That's correct. Precisely, the United Nations Development Program has opened an account for donations all over the world. It can be easily reached through their official websites in order to get details, but it's already in use. Also, the National Secretary for Risk Management has also an account that has been used also for all donations and contributions, which from overseas, I believe, is the most effective way of contributing right now.
All right. So, again, if you wouldn't mind, give us the number for local Ecuadorians who might need it.
Sure. It's 1-844-668 45-43.
All right.
24/7, and they can get assistance.
And we will post ways you can help by making donations of specifically of cash is the best way to go to get cash into the services that need to spend the cash, who are on the ground and can get it done. God bless. We're thinking about you, and please check in with us if you need additional publicity this week.
Thank you very much. That would be very useful.
All the best. We're thinking about you. Carlos House, Council General, General of Ecuador here in Chicago. The president of Ecuador, Rafael Correa, was at the Vatican after being here, and obviously went home quickly to figure out what they could figure out. Quito, which is well inland, which is the capital, had a tremendous amount of damage.
Yeah, they felt tremors from 300 miles away.
Yeah, which has got to be most of the country.
Yeah. Incidentally, too, the cell phone carriers, at least for the next few days, are allowing all text messages and calls if they can get through free of charge.
Okay. We'll talk to Controller Leslie Munger coming up. She has said, look, we're out of money. Guess who's not going to get paid next? The people causing us to not have any money. And a Blackhawk store gift card. We'll kick off a day full of this giving away of gift cards coming up in just a few minutes. Tell you a little bit about Dave and I hanging out at the Hawks game yesterday, too. I thought we had a win, Dave.
Yeah, I felt that way.
Frustrating. Leslie Munger is state comptroller. She joins us now, and we're big fans of Leslie Munger. Before she actually loses her mind and has to be institutionalized because she agreed to take the comptroller's job. Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Well, we appreciate it. We're glad you're still sane, at least for the moment.
It's challenging these days to be in state government. I'll say that.
Now, you made some news yesterday, but for all the right reasons. And if I understand the story correctly, what we expected might happen is going to happen. You only have so much money. You got to pay the bills. You got to decide where the money's going to go. That's your job. That's what the people elected you to do. And guess what? You can't pay the people that are causing the problems now, can you?
Well, we have such a backlog of bills. We currently have about $7.7 billion in bills right now in the state. And this is in our highest revenue month. We're bringing in income taxes. So we usually start to pay down this stack, and it's still huge. And I've traveled all around the state for the past many months, and I just keep hearing over and over again the hardship that we're causing by not having a budget in place so we cannot pay people. And I keep thinking it's just wrong that I'm getting paid, that the legislature's getting paid on time. We're all getting paid on time, and yet we can't pay the people who fund us, who we're supposed to serve on time. And so I think it's really fairest if we just run the, you know, pay in line, and that's what I decided to do.
So at what point does the court challenge hit you today?
Oh, probably, except that I really spent a lot of time. This idea came to me a couple of weeks ago. And really as a result of, again, building over time, trying to think of a potential solution or a help. And we spent a lot of time with our lawyers. And really, fundamentally, I'm required to run the payroll, and I will be running the payroll on time as we pay other bills due on April 30th. But then those bills all go in a big pile waiting to be paid. And right now, our backlog is $7.7 billion. We're about 2 months behind in making those payments, and we'll all wait in line. And when those bills come up for payment, the April 30th bills, we'll all receive our pay then.
Love that. Love that. So basically what happens is the state legislators who can't get a budget done, and this is unfortunate because we want Leslie to get paid, but the state legislators who can't get a budget done now have to be treated the same way the vendors of the state do and the people that are most negatively impacted by this, the same way they're being treated. You'll get paid when you get paid. We're doing the best we can. You're now in line with everybody else. I love that you can pull this off. I hope the legal challenges don't get in the way.
Well, I hope so, too. I really feel like it's just fundamentally fair. It's not right for us to pull up our payments and jump those in line who have been waiting longer than we
That's
have.
Exactly right.
When we are the ones responsible and really control the solution for the mess that we're in. And so I think if we're all in it together, we'll all work together to get a solution.
I will vote for this woman, whatever she runs for going forward. I don't care what we run for. If you're running down the street, I'll vote for you. I'll vote for you, whatever you're doing.
Thank you. Well, it's as I said, there's a limit to what I can do as the comptroller. You know, I don't get to vote, and I can't make them all get in a room and lock the door and not leave until they get a solution. But I do have the ability to prioritize payments, and I have prioritized payments for nonprofits all throughout the year, those social service organizations serving those most in need who have been desperate to get funds. But we have, you know, we can't pay our universities. We cannot pay medical care providers. Those who serve a lot of state employees have not been paid for years because of this backlog.
That's just incredible.
And so, you know, people will say, well, why are you taking this action now? You could have done it sooner. I could have done it sooner. But, you know, honestly, we navigate the law. This has really just been building. And I thought, it's just not right. It's not fair. And it took me a while to figure out how I could do this legally, because really I'm bound under the Constitution what I can legally do in my job.
Yeah, Governor Quinn tried this a while ago, and I saluted Governor Quinn when he did it as well, but Governor Quinn did not do the legal gauntlet running, I suppose, that had to be done in the process, and it was shot down. So, listen, we need an update from you maybe midweek as time allows on your schedule, but I love that you're doing this, and thank you for serving the state.
Thanks very much for having me on this morning. I appreciate it.
All right, there you go, Leslie Munger. Come on, you wouldn't vote for that woman?
Hey, you know what? I hope this is the catalyst. Because really, when they're not getting paid, maybe they'll realize, you know what? Every service agency is suffering. The state's suffering.
Well, that's what you need, because we can't get enough people fired up to go to Springfield with burning clubs. So maybe we get people with burning clubs outside of Madigan's office stomping their feet. And outside of Rauner's office as well. Look, I know the governor's not without fault here, but you know how I feel about this. The governor has offered compromises. Madigan's barely making people show up for work. Of course, take their money away.
Kudos to Leslie Munger for doing this.
It's coming up on 728. We'll take a break, come back, and a young anchor named Ron Majors has made some news as well. Struggling young broadcaster.
Here's a brief news update. Minnesota Congressman Rick Nolan says he will begin a nationwide effort to draft Senator Edward Kennedy for the presidency. The way is now clear for the state of California to become the first state in the nation to establish a form of gasoline rationing in the face of growing shortages. That will start just after midnight on Wednesday. And a couple of more changes were made today in President Carter's proposed plan for gasoline rationing on a nationwide scale. That's a brief update. We'll have more news tonight at 10.
That was Rob Majors before his voice changed. It was before he hit puberty when he was in Minneapolis. Oh, just the best. You take all your anchors. You put them in the big anchor team picture. There's one class president. It's this guy. Rob Majors. Just smooth. Yep. Smooth. Peter Jennings used to call him and go, how can I be smoother? That's how smooth he is. Rob Majors announced the other day that he is stepping down from his duties at Channel 7 at ABC to spend more time with Rokan. Wasn't that his reason for retiring?
Maybe not the main reason.
Well, let's ask him. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
We all had a lot of puberty experiences in Minneapolis, didn't we, Steve?
Yes, we did. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You know what I say about it is I'm sort of glad I stayed this long. I'm really glad I'm one of those people who knows it's time. I don't have any second thoughts about this. How many of us get a chance to work in this business as long as I have and retire the way you want to?
No. You're asked to leave. You're asked to leave, and a general manager puts out a memo that says, we've come to a mutual agreement that it's time.
That's right. He has decided to move on to other things.
But I do like the idea that you're spending more time not with your family but with Rokan. That seems to be a good answer for me.
You know, I have to hold his hand. I got him in the horse business many years ago.
Right.
I'm constantly hand-holding. Well, what happened? Well, what happened to this one? how come we're not making more money? How come?
You know, I love Ro, and you love Ro, but when Ro's voice gets super high, only the horsies can hear it.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, you are. And, you know, I want to say, I just want to take a chance to say, you know, you had a good time in Minneapolis as well.
Oh,
and,
fantastic.
And fantastic. And you knew my brother up there.
Yeah.
And I was so touched that when you moved down here, among the first things you did was call me and ask me, if I would come on your show. And at that time, I was doing a whole bunch of stuff with Johnny Brandmeier.
Yeah,
I just didn't think it was fair And I'm sorry I missed that opportunity because I love what you do.
Well, you're very nice to say that. But no, I totally understood that and I respected it. And I've sort of lost touch with your brother. Younger brother, Paul, or as Paul liked to say, the good looking one in the family.
Yeah, the tall one.
Yeah, he goes out to L.A. and he's been killing it there, I know, for a long time. But, you know, he's got 47 children now. He's practically an Osmond. Everything's going great for him, I hear.
Yeah, it is. I just talked to him this weekend. We're making arrangements to go up and meet some family for a little reunion kind of thing up in Santa Maria, California, where the Portuguese side of my family lives. And he loves L.A., has been out there. He does what I do in L.A. for yeah. TPS. He does the 5 and 11 out there. And you know what it's like. He had teenage girls. And moving teenage girls from one out of their school,
tough.
You know,
very
a difficult
tough.
Task.
Yeah.
Well, he moved them. I think it was the week between Christmas and New Year's from Minneapolis to Los Angeles several years ago. And the first day they got to Los Angeles after leaving Minneapolis and it was 48 below, they went to the beach. That sealed the deal.
I bet it did. Your teenage girls. Look at the boys. Look at the ocean. Well, please give them my best because I have lost touch with them. But let's make this about you. Are you going to miss it?
You know, I think I certainly will miss some of it. What I will miss mostly is, and you know this from being in broadcasting.
Sure.
Anytime you're around a studio, you're around a newsroom, you're around broadcasters who are committed to what they do, you encounter some really smart, engaging people. And it really is one of the things that has kept me vital and interested over all the years.
Right.
And just going in there and having that exchange with those folks. I will miss that more than anything else. I'm not going to miss the deadlines. I'm not going to miss the pressures of doing the job. I'm not going to miss any of that stuff. I'm not going to miss how fast the business is changing.
Yeah, I'm into that.
The new challenges we have to deal with, trying to figure out, you know, what does social media mean to us? What does the digital stuff mean to us? What is our antenna worth? How long do we last? Newspapers declining rapidly, the news business changing dramatically, people confusing, shouting at each other on cable TV with news. It's, you know, there are a whole bunch of new challenges out there. And part of my decision is I just don't know if I have the passion that I once did to deal with the new challenges. And at some point, you'd kind of like to sit back and coast.
But
we don't get to do that.
No, you don't, and you never did. And Channel 7, of course, has spent more money than just about anybody in television to make sure the product stays great. And, of course, we love what Channel 9's doing. But I love the fact that Krzyzewski's only been on deck since 83. So it seems like he's tanned, rested, and ready.
Yeah, he is. He is. And by the way, speaking of Channel 9, you know, Mark Sapelsa is one of my favorite guys. And another guy who passed through Minneapolis. And he just does a great job. And I've enjoyed him so much over the years.
I got to tell you, and he speaks obviously the same way about you, but I got to tell you, there's very few, and this is not a knock, it's a fact of the business that we're in. There's very few great, great anchors anymore that do what Ron does, that do what Mark does, that do what Peter Jennings was, these are my words, not Ron's, Peter Jennings was a nasty man. But there was nobody better at what he did. You go back, and if you're fascinated by this stuff, you go back and look what he did on 9/11 with, I think, one sweater change as he sat there all day and did it. But you, yeah. Ron Majors, you'll never accept this compliment, but you have that kind of smooth, that kind of ability to make people feel okay in the midst of a really tough story. And I think Sapelsa does the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, I do appreciate it. And there's kind of a trade-off for that with me. What I say about it is I don't know why. But my personality and makeup is such that if I get a phone call now and they say, get in here, and I have to go in, and 20 minutes from now I'm on the air covering something, and I have to stay on the air for 3-4 hours and do it by the seat of the pants, I love that. I absolutely love that.
Sure.
What scares me to death is if you said, as my wife has said many times, it's time to write down your experiences. Here's a blank sheet of paper. I look at that blank sheet of paper and go, man, I got to fill that up with words and they got to make sense. And they got to, it's okay to do it off the top of your head, but I admire authors and writers and people who have the discipline. Somebody once told me, and I wish I could give credit for the quote, I can't, but someone once said, being an author or writing is simply a matter of sitting down in front of a blank piece of paper and waiting until you sweat blood.
Wow. You know what? And I can identify with it as well. You know, throw me to the fire, but don't ask me to give you a report.
Oh, absolutely. Don't make me write that up.
Ron, another attribute you have, too, and you know, doing it on television is one thing. But Ron, last year, inducted Ann Compton into the Radio Hall of Fame, got up there, went through this woman's entire career, accolades, citing specific stories and instances, and good 5-10 minutes, not one piece of paper.
Yeah, how about that, right?
Not one note card.
Yeah. You know, What I say about it is, and I'm really fortunate that I found a business to take advantage of this. If you give me and anybody else 5 minutes to prepare something and then go tell you about it, I think I do that pretty well. You give me and anybody else a week to prepare and do something, and I become pretty average, I think. I just somehow that stuff sticks, and I'm grateful that it's been a gift that I've been able to use.
Well, all of us who have ADD addled brains in some form or another and are always fascinated by the next shiny thing have trouble preparing. The more time you give me to prepare, the more tense I get. And then
absolutely,
you wait till the last 10 minutes and then you go out and you crush it. But you made yourself miserable in the process.
What I say about it is I'm happy that it worked out for me that I found this business, because we work in a business of deadlines, and I had trouble in college. I was a troubled student, believe me. 5 different colleges, and what I like to say is I'm pretty sure I left 2 of them voluntarily. And I really did struggle. And part of it is I almost can't do the work until I feel the deadline. I can't see the deadline, or I can't know about the deadline. I have to really feel it before I really start.
I totally agree. Completely agree. 1,000%. Well, I know how much this audience is going to miss you. They love Krzyzewski and Channel 7. The same way GN was fine when I left the first time, they're going to be fine when they throw me out the second time. Channel 7 will go on. We'll all go on, but it's going to be different without having you on TV. And I hope you pop up here occasionally here and there. I know I'll see you in different places, but I wanted to leave you with this. And I don't know if you knew that Billy Pierce felt this way about you, but Billy Pierce had Ron Majors come to this Chicago Baseball Cancer's charity thing every year forever. And he'd stroll in looking fantastic. And somebody up front would start asking him questions about Cheryl Burton. And he'd go, not a chance, not in your lifetime. And then Kathy Brock's name would come up and he'd go, oh, yeah, get in line, pal. Yeah, she's not interested in you. He'd kill it. He'd kill it all the time. So Ron had an agreement with Billy, and I don't want to speak for you here, Ron, but I will. Ron had an agreement with Billy, said, Billy, when you're ready to give this up, I'll give it up. Well, guess what? Billy outlasted him. So at some point, Billy comes to me and goes, could you do this for us? Just try it for a year. You're no Ron Majors, but you'll be okay. And we had a good time, and I've done it 2 or 3 years in a row. But people ask about you all the time there, and you know what a great guy Billy Pierce was. And I love Billy like you love Billy. But Billy took me aside at one point and gave me one of the greatest compliments ever. He said, you're getting there. You're not there yet, but you're going to be Ron Majors someday.
He was just a wonderful man, and one of the great thrills of my life is when they put up the statue of Billy Pierce out on the concourse at White Sox Park, Billy asked me to do the introduction there.
How about that?
And I was so touched, and I mean it remains one of the great thrills of my life that I'm standing there introducing Billy Pierce.
We've all met a lot of really cool people in our lifetime, but it's rare when you meet somebody that had a run like Billy Pierce had, who couldn't have been more genuine, more normal, and could not find a better guy. And he loved you.
Yeah. Oh, and I loved him, believe me.
All the best, my friend. I'll see you at some point, and don't let road drive you too crazy.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, take care. It's a great Ron Majors from ABC 7. We'll be wrapping it up soon. And I love the fact that Krzyzewski is going to be the guy.
He's a great guy,
speaking
too.
Of great guys.
Mm-hmm. He absolutely is.
But can you imagine? Ron has to take calls from Roe all day long. What do you mean we lost to the 7th?
Maybe he'll change his number now.
Oh, to thank Rob Majors again for jumping on. And wish him nothing but happiness and whatever he chooses to do. By the way, that story he told. This is the backstory on that story. So Paul Majors, his little brother, Big Shot LA anchor now, a really good friend of mine in Minneapolis. And like most things, you know, it's like high school. You get to the end of high school and you go, we'll always be together. I'll call you. You'll call me. It'll be great. It's not that far. You'll drive to Chicago. I'll see you. Your brother's there.
And it lasts like a month.
And it lasts a month. And we talk on the phone occasionally. But, you know, you have kids. You get busy. You lose touch.
Life goes on.
And I really haven't talked to Paul in a long time. But he's fabulous. He really is really good and really fabulous. So anyway, Paul goes, call my brother when you get to town. You know, he's got to go on with you. You know, the thing you and I had here, you guys could have it there. It'd be great. And, you know, Paul wasn't following Chicago radio, and he didn't know that Ron was doing Johnny's show. So I just call Ron, and I go, I'd love to have you on. And, you know, out of loyalty to Johnny, which was the absolute right thing to do, you know, he said, no, well, I really can't. I honestly never didn't feel badly about it, totally got it, had nothing but respect for Ron. No. And he brings it up 22 years later. He still remembers the story. I think that's pretty cool.
I think it is, too.
And it's a testament to his character,
I'm
right?
I'm telling you, he's got a memory like a steel trap.
Well, that's not always good. But, you know, it's a very nice thing.
It is.
So I wish him well. And I told, you know, what he said, too, to be able to leave on your terms when you want to leave, that's huge.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, at some point, there's going to be an anchor with a GoPro camera on his head who is shooting his own pictures of himself.
It's kind of nice when...
You don't want to be that guy.
No. It's kind of nice when your name is the, you know, in the subject line of the memo, and it's a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No doubt about it. And, you know, he mentioned Sapelsa. He and Sapelsa are really tight. And for the two biggest anchors in town who would normally, in the old days, rip each other's heads off to be as close as they are, that's pretty great, too.
And two of the best. I mean, biggest, but, boy, those two.
Well, Sapelsa's got to go. We got to get rid of him.
Oh, nice.
It's a couple of minutes before 8. All right, Dave, so you and I yesterday, along with Mark Carmen at the United Center, we had a great time in the pregame. We felt good about things that didn't go our way. Hawks game 4 tomorrow night. I'm guaranteeing they're going to even it at 2.
Yes.
I think you have to like their chances because they've been through this before. But I St. Louis, and I think we talked about this, Steve, this is a little bit different St. Louis Blues
team. Oh, they're better.
They're bigger
and they're better.
And they have a different attitude. Mentally, I think they're tougher because I think in past years they would have folded. Now, the Blackhawks had a great chance early in the game to totally blow it open.
And this thing could go 8. That's how tight this is. It could go 9.
It could. I think you said that yesterday.
Yeah, 7 may not be enough to settle this.
But you realize this is the third straight series that the Blackhawks have played in the playoffs that the series has been tied 1-1 and they have lost the third game.
No, I didn't know that.
Fall behind 2-1. And we know what happened last year.
Yeah, it worked out pretty well.
Anaheim and Tampa Bay last year.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me, kiss me.
I gotta tell you something, my friend Dean is running some kind of scam because I'm watching him interview people for this dopey Angry Birds movie that's coming out.
No, it's not dopey.
Yeah, it's totally dopey.
It's funny.
And he's on the ocean. He's on the ocean with celebrities. I don't even know what ocean it was. Which ocean did you choose?
It would be the Pacific Ocean.
He's on the Pacific Ocean. He's wearing a Tommy Bahama shirt. He's obviously drunk as a skunk. And he's sitting there talking to stars on a cabana.
No more than I am right now.
Do you know where Dean was?
No, where was he? Hawaii?
Yeah.
I was in Maui.
Your job is ridiculous.
Steve, it's hard. It's hard work. Don't be misled by the tropical surroundings. I was trying to have a Mai Tai. The umbrella kept flying out of the drink.
Well, I thought it was rude of Maya Rudolph coming over expecting an interview when you were on vacation. That was ridiculous.
Was I had to stop the vacation for 4 or 5 minutes to talk to her about the movie, and
that was cool. I'm very happy for you. I love that you're scamming the system.
Yeah, the wind picked up, and it was You know, it was dangerous. We could have been killed.
What did it do to your hair?
It's the same thing that it's doing right now.
Yeah, same here. Nothing. Same here.
Yep.
I had a little kid. I had a little kid. I was walking out yesterday for the game, and a little kid and his dad, and his dad's a fan, comes up, very nice guy, says hi. We're talking for a second. And a little kid whose name I didn't catch, Timmy, let's say, since I call little Timmy. Kids Timmy.
Timmy.
And I go, hey, Timmy, how are you doing? And the little kid looks at me and he goes, you're bald.
I love that.
Yes, I am, that. Timmy. Yes, I am. 8:17, we come back. We'll talk a little bit more about Dean's scam job. Also, highlights from Coachella. I guess he swung by there as well. Axl Rose joining AC/DC.
Hanging out with him this weekend, too.
And audio that works, but video you got to see of Johnny Depp and his hostage film as he allegedly apologizes for dog smuggling charges.
Smuggling Yorkshire Terriers into a country.
He couldn't have been less interested.
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard.
Of course, I'm speaking of the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Healthcare Center.
Top man.
They've been nice enough to be sponsors forever. You think I would have that committed to memory? What's wrong with me?
You would think so.
Back to Dean.
When I was off last week, I stopped to visit my brother in Phoenix, Arizona first before I went to my backbreaking assignment in Maui. Having breakfast with my brother in Phoenix, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody comes up to the table and says, just want to let you know I enjoy you and Steve every morning.
Well, that's very nice.
From Phoenix, Arizona.
Well, that is a huge Chicago market. Phoenix, I'm talking about.
Right.
You could drop this show in Channel 9 Morning News into Phoenix anytime, and they'd be huge hits.
A lot of Chicagoans.
Yeah, big.
A lot of Chicagoans. I had security take that person away. It's like, I'm trying to have breakfast. Do you mind?
And don't look Dean in the eyes.
Talk to me.
All right, so this Angry Birds movie, you're trying to convince me I should go see it when it comes out?
It's actually a funny movie. Oh, I was surprised. I don't know. I don't play Angry Birds.
I don't either.
Video game. I didn't know anything about it. It was actually even annoying me how all the millennials are, you know, it's practically a religion to them.
It annoys me that they made a movie about it.
And now they've made a movie. There'll probably be a theme park at some time. I mean, it's a whole popular franchise. It wound up being a pretty funny movie. I have to say that.
Who's in it?
It's not going to open up for a month, but Jason Sudeikis does a voice in it. Maya Rudolph.
Okay.
Bill Hader. Josh Gad, who was the snowman, you know, in Frozen. It was the voice of the snowman in Frozen.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I was excited to talk to Maya Rudolph about is this new show that she's got coming up at the end of May that'll be on NBC, an old-fashioned variety show, a la, sort of like the old Carol Burnett show.
I didn't know about this. Is she going to host it?
She and Marty Short are going to be
the
two primary
Fantastic.
Performers on it, and they invite all their friends on it. To me, it's just those two together, it just doesn't get any better. But she gave us a little bit of a preview as we sat right along the Pacific Ocean. I don't want to rub it in.
Well, you know, it's my mother's hometown, so I feel really proud to represent the Ripperton.
Wrong cut. Wrong cut.
That's the right one.
That's not the only one you have? No. All right, so tell us what she said,
Dean,
because we have the wrong one.
She talked about how, this is based on the Carol Burnett show, that's the template for the whole thing, that on that Saturday Night Live anniversary show, that she was teamed up with Marty Short, and that became sort of the audition for this new show that's coming up.
So why was she talking about her mother?
Well, that was a cut. That cut that we just heard was from about 2 years ago.
With Minnie Riperton.
When she was here in Chicago. Yeah, that's a super old cut.
Minnie Riperton's from here?
Yeah, check the date. Yeah, Minnie Riperton's from the south side of Chicago, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but that was an old cut. Inadvertently played.
Maya Rudolph, Martin Short, the talk show or the variety show is going to be when again?
May 30th, 31st?
May 30th.
End of May. It's on NBC.
All right, cool. Aretha Franklin, there's going to be a movie about her?
She is working out the details right now. She says she's very close to signing off on this whole thing. She'll have creative control. Jennifer Hudson is said to be in the running to play Aretha Franklin in that. Meanwhile, she celebrated her 74th birthday over the weekend, had a big birthday party in New York City.
Yeah, she married a fireman or a cop or something in Detroit?
Aretha did?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I think they're still together.
Yeah, congratulations.
Regular folks, man. Doesn't have to be stars on stars.
Congratulations to Aretha, and happy that she's celebrating her birthday because there were all those cancer rumors a couple of years ago. She seems to be doing really well.
Lost a lot of weight, too, didn't she?
Yes.
Yeah, Axl Rose joining AC/DC was the announcement this morning. We heard in the last 20 minutes they broke up, and now they've reformed.
Did they destroy a hotel room anywhere along the way?
I'm sure they did. That's the rock thing to do.
Was one of the many highlights of Coachella over the weekend. Guns N' Roses performed at Coachella. Angus Young from AC/DC joins them on stage, and then they make the announcement that Axl Rose will be joining AC/DC for a month on tour, replacing their lead vocalist. And then when Guns N' Roses begin their tour in June, go back with Guns N' Roses and do that. But this was also a good one. Kanye West made a surprise appearance. A$AP Rocky, the group A$AP Rocky, performing. And Kanye West joins on stage, jumps up on the stage to perform with him. And his microphone didn't work. And people are speculating that it was on purpose, that they purposely didn't want to hear from Kanye West.
That would make sense, wouldn't it? Makes total sense. It'd
be the first time that someone didn't hear from Kanye West.
But it makes total sense to shut him off. I'd shut him off. I think Kim Kardashian has a switch on him somewhere that she hits. John Legend's in the news. He and Chrissy Teigen had a little baby. Would that boy or girl?
Little baby girl over the weekend. So congrats to them on that.
Hopefully it'll have Chrissy Teigen's face and John Legend's brain. Remember when that went reverse with Billy Joel and Christy? Not good. And finally, the great Johnny Depp story. All right, so give us the backstory before we play the audio.
Last April, Johnny Depp and his new wife, Amber Heard, arrive in Australia. Johnny's making the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie. They arrive, and, you know, you have to declare, you know, things when you go into a new country. They fail to declare their two Yorkshire Terriers. They tried to smuggle their dogs into the country. They were busted and wound up in court yesterday. It's actually a pretty big offense there, not only the smuggling of the dogs, because they have very strict quarantine laws there, but even more importantly is that they've falsified documents that they did not have the dogs when actually they did. So they go to court yesterday. Johnny Depp wasn't charged with anything, but Amber Heard was, and she gets off with a month good behavior. They kind of swept the whole thing under the rug, but the highlight of the whole thing is this video that they released.
This is court-mandated, this video apology?
This was court-mandated. This was a public apology of how sorry they are that they did what they did. But listen to the sincerity. Listen to the warmth. You know, Johnny Depp, one of the greatest actors in the world, pouring his dramatic chops into this sincere, sincere apology.
Prepare to grab a Kleenex. Here we go.
Australia is a wonderful island with a treasure trove of unique plants, animals, and people.
It has to be protected.
Australia is free of many pests and diseases that are commonplace around the world. That is why Australia has to have such strong biosecurity laws.
And Australians are just as unique, both warm and direct. When you disrespect Australian law, they will tell you firmly.
I am truly sorry that Pistol and Boo were not declared. Protecting Australia is important.
Declare everything when you enter Australia.
God, you know what? I hope they throw him in jail.
As you had said, I mean, it's one thing to hear this.
It's a hostage film.
You've got to see this video. All that's missing is somebody from ISIS standing behind them.
Right.
You know, while
you can see him blinking out help.
I just have two quick questions, Dean. Johnny Depp, according to Wikipedia, born in Kentucky, so I'm not sure when he became British. That's interesting. And were the dogs made of drugs? Why not just say, I'm bringing my dogs into the country?
Well, they wouldn't let you bring them in.
Why?
Because of this idea that
they hate dogs.
You don't know. No, Australians don't hate dogs. The idea that you could bring in some sort of pestilence and disease into Australia that wasn't previously there.
What if they were?
Were you not listening to that?
Yeah, I know. Listen to the dramatic speech.
Were they seeing eye dogs though? What if they were seeing eye dogs?
Well, based on how blind Amber Heard must have been to hook up with Johnny at this point in his life,
maybe that's possible.
What were the dogs' names? I missed it.
Tinker and Boo. No, what was it, Dean?
I thought it was Pooh.
I thought it was Tinker and Boo. Maybe it's Boo.
It's not Tinker and Poo.
I heard Poo.
Poo.
I heard Poo.
That's why they didn't want the dog in. They had a problem. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
See ya.
That's Dean Richards. Big story next, 720 WGN.
To the left wing boards, Backus. To Tarasenko, left point. To Shattenkirk, just inside the line, deep slot. To Tarasenko, a slap pass in front, they score! It's Jaden Schwartz taking a pass from David Backus, standing out in front of the Hawk net about 10 feet, and he snapped it past Corey Crawford, gets a power play goal, and the Blues lead for the first time in this game, 3-2.
You know, you're trying to get through a four-minute kill that they scored right off the bat, and had a couple looks that could have been close, but that was a tough loss. Let's get back into it, but it was a pretty competitive game, kind of comparable to what we saw in the first two.
Just ahead is Steve Conroy joining us. Dave, you have something?
Blackhawks coverage on WGN is sponsored by the Village of Bedford Park. Think about relocating your business for success.
Steve Conroy does a great job on Comcast Sportsnet and on all sorts of coverage. Steve is the kind of guy, if you invite him to his house, he'll break down the game for you.
Yes, he will.
If he's over for a party, mm-hmm. that type of thing. He joins us now, former Blackhawks Steve Conroy. And Steve, welcome to the program. Nice to talk to you.
Steve, Dave, great to be with you guys.
You can't go to a party in the summer or any time of the year, I'm guessing, without somebody wanting to talk Hawks.
Yeah, but that's a good thing. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, you know, going back maybe 10, 11 years, where Blackhawks were kind of the bottom feeders, and right now they're the talk of the town, and of course three championships in 6 years certainly helps, and I'm always glad to talk hockey.
You know, yesterday was a weird game. The series has been weird. I mean, intense, but we're seeing things we don't see very often, if at all. When Ladd clanged that one off the left post, right post, and out, I don't know that I've ever seen it.
Yeah, I mean, that was unfortunate because when you think of it, if that shot's maybe an eighth of an inch to the right, it goes off the post and then into the net instead of, you know, it was like a 7-10 pin shot in bowling. It very rarely happens, and you're absolutely right. And that would have made the game 3-1 in the second period. And, you know, the Blackhawks with a two-goal lead are normally golden. So, you know, that all being said, we've got to really tip our hats to Brian Elliott, who...
He's great.
You know, he has been. And, I mean, you know, he got a little lucky on that play, but he made some quality stops last night. And as well as our... Corey Crawford has played. Elliott's probably played just a little bit better, and that's part of the reason they're up two games to one. But here's a guy, and it's a great story. He was the second last pick of the draft, his draft year, and back then it was a 9-round draft. So, I mean, he was literally the last player taken in his draft year. He's 31 now, so it was probably 11, 12 years ago. The Ottawa Senators. He played at the University of Wisconsin. And, you know, hasn't really had a lot of success in the postseason in his career. He's only played up to this point. He's 31. He's only played 16 postseason games.
Right.
But now he's got two huge wins, and he's a big part of the reason they're ahead.
Yeah, and this was supposed to be Jake Allen's team, and now Jake Allen can't get on the ice.
Yeah, well, you know, part of that is he stole the net from Jake Allen.
Yeah.
Jake Allen got injured about a month ago in the season, and they gave the they gave the team to Brian Elliott, and he ran with it and played very, very well down the stretch. I mean, we saw him come into the United Center during the regular season and win a game in overtime. He finished with the best save percentage in the entire NHL, although he didn't play a full year, but, you know, he had the top save percentage. So, and I believe now 44 saves on 46 shots last night. He's got a 963, a 96% save percentage, which is unheard of, but he has done that against one of the most highly explosive offensive teams in the NHL.
We get a quick traffic update here, and a couple things I want to ask you about when we come back. One is we never should have been in the position we were in the third period. When the Blackhawks will tell you that when you have three power play opportunities in the first and you only cash in on the first one. And then secondarily to that, what Panarin pulled off yesterday with his little fakey doodle, where he doesn't take a face off ever. He's in the circle. He gives a face off up, steals the puck back, and sets up the best goal of the game. What did I predict yesterday? 4-1 Hawks?
You predicted, yeah, it was 4-1 Hawks.
Could have been 4-1 if they
could've
popped
been.
For those two.
Yes.
Maybe three in the first. I know what you're saying. You're saying, Steve, power plays 1 in 5 is a good number. Yeah, but not when you're off to a hot start. Not when you get a quickie. Not when you think you've cracked through. Steve Conroy rejoins us now from Comcast Sportsnet, your Chicago Blackhawks. So they get the early one, Steve, on the power play, but they get two quick shots after that at bonus power plays. You got to cash in on at least one of those, don't you?
Yeah, you really do. I mean, you were given a great opportunity to really take control of the game. And the second one especially, Bouwmeester, you know, he kind of tripped up Panarin, and we lost that draw. And, you know, whenever you're on a power play and you lose the draw in their zone, you know, typically they get to clear it. And, you know, you're unsettled. You're not on the same page. And I think they ended up with three separate clears on that kill. So that was not a good power play. But then we had one more, actually, and it was Bouwmeester again as he stepped out of the penalty box. His feet were still in the box. He played the puck. It's deemed interference. And that one, actually, I think we had two or three real good looks. I know Brent Seabrook had a great shot and Anisimov, and I think Duncan Keith did too. But, hey, listen, again, your best penalty killer has to be your goalie, and Elliott came up real big.
Yep.
So, I mean, it would have been good, and you're right, 1-for-5 or 1-for-4, whatever we were last night, that's not a bad percentage. But, you know, when you look back on it, boy, that obviously would have helped.
Steve, the way Elliott is playing here, is it going to take getting some of those greasy goals, like the Shaw goal Friday night in St. Louis, to get some past him? Because it just doesn't seem like he's giving anything up.
No, and I know, and last night, Dave, was one of the few times he's been giving up some rebounds. So, you know, you talk about greasy goals. It's all about getting to the front of the net and screening, and then, you know, maybe you can turn around and get one of those rebounds. And in games 1 and 2 in St. Louis, he was outstanding in his rebound control. Nothing was coming off his body. And last night, there was some loose change there, and we just didn't have enough guys. I mean, Andrew Ladd does a great job, and he has been doing a real good job in front of the net. You mentioned Andrew Shaw. You know, I think they're hoping for more of that from all the guys. You know, Dale Weiss finally got in the lineup last night, and I know that third line didn't play. Well, we call it a third line. It's really like a fourth line. They didn't play a whole heck of a lot, but they've got to. And if you just watch any of the highlights throughout the NHL, and I know that, you know, Nashville won again last night, so they're 2-0. They won both games at Anaheim. You watch some of the goals that are being scored in the LA San Jose series, and I mentioned Anaheim too. They're scrambles in front of the net. They're, you know, guys getting the loose pucks, and it's the second and third opportunities. Listen, you know, goalies are so elite and so good now in the NHL. Very rarely are you going to beat them with that first shot, and if they see it, they're probably going to stop it. It's the second and third opportunities where you're scoring your goals. And even on Corey last night, every one of the goals that was scored on him was deflected. It wasn't a real clean shot. And you know, I guess the power play, their game-winning goal, Jaden Schwartz in front of the net, that was a clean shot, but you couldn't really blame him for that. But the other two are, you know, off sticks, off shin pads, crazy bounces, and in the net.
Yeah, that tying goal took some weird hops, even though it was from long range. The I mentioned this earlier, the Blackhawks have been in this exact situation.
Down 1-2
after losing the tie-breaking third game against Anaheim, against Tampa Bay last year, now here against St. Louis. Steve, how much does that help going into the fourth game tomorrow night, knowing that this isn't a team that's going to panic. They've been through this before.
Well, you know, it helps a lot. I mean, it's just amazing. It's funny. I read a book last year, and it really stuck out to me. You guys might have read it too. It's the story of Lewis and Clark, Undaunted Courage, and, you know, their trek up the Missouri River to find a passage, a way to get to the Pacific Ocean. And these guys really became brothers. And I don't know, I think there was maybe 20 in the party. But it was because of these uncommon experiences that really brought them together.
Right.
No one had ever done it before.
It's a great analogy.
Yeah, it really is. And that's why these guys have a special bond. I mean, I played in the NHL for 15 years. I never played in a Stanley Cup final. I got to the Western Conference Finals twice with the Blackhawks in the late 80s, early 90s. But I never played in a Stanley Cup final. I mean, these guys have won Stanley Cups, and not many guys are able to say that. And so they know what it takes. And you're right, Dave, they've been in this situation before. And, you know, if you look back to some of those series, whether when they were down 3-1 to the Detroit Red Wings a few years ago, I mean, last year to Anaheim, now 3-1, you look at the score sheet in games 4, 5, 6, and 7. It's the Taves, it's the Canes, it's the Hosses, it's the Seabrooks, it's the Duncan Keiths that really rise to the occasion. And you know, I think our best players have been okay, but they haven't been better than their best players. I think that Tarasenko line last night with Schwartz and Laterra, and Yuri Laterra has really stood out. They've been really, really good. We've got to be better than them. And that means our top line. And, you know, we've got a 1A and a 1B. Panarin's line with Anisimov's line with Panarin and Kane, they're basically a number one line along with, you know, Taves, Hossa, and Ladd. They've got to be a little bit better. And they realize that. And you know, you just have to look at the point totals. And I know Kaner's got three assists, but we want to see him scoring some goals. So,
well, that's the thing. What are you seeing anything with Kane or Taves that they're doing, the Blues are doing special to keep him out of the net?
Well, you know what, Steve? That's a great question. I think especially with Kane, they're double-teaming him at times. And listen, Kane's the best in the NHL. When he feels pressure from two guys, he realizes somebody's open, and he normally finds that open guy. But, you know, right now they're just doing a real good job of just double-teaming him at the right time, you know, getting two guys really close to him, you know, not giving him any kind of space whatsoever, because if you give him time and space, he's going to pick you apart. But, you know, he's not playing bad. He still has 3 points in three games. That's great.
Right.
But we want to see him score a goal. We want to see Jonathan Tate score a goal.
Right.
And get into it and get the crowd into it. And I think that's typically what happens when they get behind and it's games 4 or 5 or 6, 7, that's when these guys, you know, it's showtime, and that's when the lights are shining brightest, and that's when these guys seem to give us their best performances.
Well, I'll let you go on this because we're tight on time, but I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about the neat little move that Panarin pulled after never being in the faceoff circle to be able to give up the faceoff, get in a position to make a perfect pass and score a goal. That's a set play for him, right?
Well, you know, it was a set play that he drew up, I think, right on the spot. Because
right, when he did that little meeting in the corner with Panarin before?
Yeah. And, you know, he'd never taken a face-off before. And I had an old coach, Badger Bob Johnson, may he rest in peace, with the Calgary Flames. He said, sometimes you got to give them the puck to get it back. And that's what he did. He gave them the puck. He went ahead with it, let the guy win the draw. But he knew where it was going. And he really surprised Colton Parayko, who's had a fantastic series, the rookie for St. Louis. And picked his pocket and knew, well, they had talked about it and knew exactly where Anisimov was going to be, put it right on the plate for him, and he scores the goal. So, yeah, that was a heads-up play by the rookie. You know, and obviously that at the time gave him the 2-1 lead, and the place was going crazy. But slowly but surely, St. Louis etched its way back in.
So is that watching video, knowing tendencies, and know that if the kid wins the faceoff, he's going to pass to a particular guy?
Well, you know, I think what they realized was that, you know, typically you don't lose a draw back cleanly.
Yeah.
And literally Panarin was on his horse as the guy was winning the draw back, and Panarin was kind of pushing it forward too. So I think that kind of surprised Colton Parayko. Typically you've got about a half second to take a stride with the puck and bank it off the boards to your D partner.
Right.
He didn't have that kind of time. So, you know, I think that was the surprise element.
That was cool.
And that's how he got it back from Parayko.
That was way better than the Ladd clank and out shot. You know, I have funny standards, Steve. Steve, it's great talking to you, and you're a tremendous analyst for the game, and obviously we loved you as a player as well. Steve, by the way, still occasionally plays defense in the concourse at the United Center if somebody gets too close to him. Let's just shoot him a little elbow, a little friendly elbow. Check him into the wall.
Around 111 there?
Yeah, check him into the wall at 111, 112.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steve. Enjoy the day.
All right, guys. You too. Thanks.
See you.
A couple minutes before 9. Next hour, we're going to do a one-hour text question. We haven't done this in a while. We're going to do a one-hour text question on the dumbest thing you ever bought online late at night or anytime during the day. A guy bought a yak online when he was on sleeping pills. Details coming up on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All right, 9:12. The Steve Cochran Show continues. Guy bought a yak online. Y'all made online purchases you regret. Mary, I know you have. Don't act like you haven't. Remember when Mary got that car napping pillow?
Mm-hmm.
You, I know, have done this as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, we all have, right? I don't just shop online a lot, but when I do, yeah.
We're never up late to, you know, shop online.
Well, you don't have to just drink and buy stuff late at night. You can do it anytime.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it's just, not just late-at-night purchases.
From the texter in the 608 area code, $145 of space ice cream.
Oh my gosh, did you see that somebody is selling online air from Kobe Bryant's game? Kobe Bryant's last game, someone took a Ziploc bag, and the bid is up to like $1,500.
That's funny.
It's insane. Yeah, it's an empty bag, but it's air from the game.
I don't know what space ice cream is.
That's what I was
wondering. Oh, the freeze-dried stuff they probably have in
like Tang? Know.
It's made out of Tang, yeah.
Yeah, but that turns into ice cream, depending on what orbit you're in.
But it's made out of your own urine, so.
Oh.
Okay, you couldn't help yourself, could you? You're going to go back on suspension. I'm going to suspend you again. If you mention bodily functions on this show one more time, I told you I'm going to take the elevator to the 7th floor and I'm going to pound on you.
But it's true. That's what they're...
Stop it. Okay. Stop it. 312 area code. Worst thing ever, my Richard Simmons Disco Sweat CD.
Oh, it's Disco Sweat. Actually, that's not a bad... Okay, that's bad.
Isn't that a bodily function?
Oh, you know what? I got to take the elevator.
Steve, come back.
So looking for you to join in here, but nothing that Steve would say on the air at 312-981-7200 and tell us what you bought online. I bought a pair.
Oh, no.
I bought a pair of blue leather shoes.
I thought you were going to say pants.
Blue leather. Did I hear what I said? Blue leather shoes.
This in the 80s? To go with your parachute pants?
It was probably 10 years ago. It wasn't that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was up late. I was writing. And it seemed like a really good idea at the time. And it was like a QVC thing. And I don't think I'd ever bought anything from QVC.
Yeah.
I've never worn them.
You know why?
Why? What are you going to wear with blue leather shoes?
Blue leather pants?
I mean, like navy khaki? Or like teal?
Maybe.
Or...
No, they weren't like the ice blue Chevy Impala. They were like more of a, yeah, like a navy, I suppose. But not dark enough blue where they could actually go with something. You know what they're like? They're like this wall almost. The wall here in the Showcase studio, the Allstate Showcase studio
nice,
wall.
Steve.
It's like a peacock blue.
Yeah.
I had a bridesmaid's dress that was peacock blue one time.
Oh. I did not order that.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. That wouldn't go with anything, really.
No, somebody said, well, you get a Tommy Bahama shirt and shorts, and you could wear it on vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah, khaki shorts would work.
Or jeans.
Flowery shirt.
Jeans go with pretty much anything.
I think they're like $200. They're a really good idea.
Why don't you wear them tomorrow? We want to see them.
I don't even know where they are. I think I still have them, but I don't even know where they are.
You know what I bought for you online, which was a bad idea because it never came? I think it was a scam, and I shouldn't fall for scams, I know.
Kobe Bryant Air?
No. Donald Trump golf balls.
Oh, come on.
Yeah,
that would have been great.
I ordered them 2 weeks before your birthday, and they're still not here.
Oh, that would have been great. Was that like when I pulled up to the cell to park, and a kid told me the spot's over here, give me $20, and there was no space? Is that the same thing?
Very similar, yeah.
Okay. Dave, you ever buy anything dumb online?
No.
All right. Mr. Perfect has never made a mistake. Mike Jacobson, have you ever bought anything online?
I can honestly say me and Mary were just talking. I can't think of anything.
How about you, Sandberg? Nothing?
No.
Sandberg, nothing from you?
I buy everything online, but it's all exactly what I wanted and needed.
Oh, of course it is. Look at you. Mary, you must have bought something.
Honestly, I don't think I never buy anything online.
And I'm going to temporarily.
Even during Christmas.
All right, I'm going to temporarily remove Steve Grisanich's suspension. You bought anything online that doesn't have to do with your bathroom?
Yeah, I bought this silly thing that's supposed to send music through my entire house and. They're wireless speakers, and they're just worthless.
Oh, and wireless speakers should work?
Yeah, but it gets interference from, like, everything in the house, and it was too cheap. I should have known, but, it was late at night, and I thought, oh, well, that's a good price.
Why don't you hire, like, a mariachi guy just to hang out in the house and play music?
Yeah, might scare my dog.
847 texter, a $10 air conditioner to take camping, battery-operated, just add water.
Oh, no.
I don't think that probably worked out.
No.
630, texter, my husband bought airline tickets and flew us to the wrong island in the Bahamas on a vacation with a 9-month-old.
Oh, no.
With the wrong island? Is there something called Wrong Island in the Bahamas?
I never heard of that.
Exile Island.
My husband bought airline tickets, flew us to the wrong island.
Oh, maybe so it's the wrong island, yeah.
They had a plan to go to a particular island. He booked tickets to the wrong island.
The wrong island, yeah.
Wow. Let me tell you something. Men, come here. Listen. Get a little closer to the speaker. Let me tell you something. Don't be stupid. They're stupider than you already are. This just sets up stories for your wives and girlfriends to tell for the rest of your life.
And it makes us all look bad.
Right. You're ruining the team. You know, this is why we have practice. You have to show up, lift the weights, do the work. You're ruining it for the rest of us.
So when you say to us, hey, where do you want to go on vacation? And we say, anywhere you want, you pick.
Then I know that you're waiting for me to really sit down with you and figure it out. And here's what you want to do. You want to go through websites, and you want to look at pictures, and you want to imagine the various places we could go together, not ever committing to a single one until I make the decision on where we're going to go, and then you go, oh, okay.
I guess,
if that's the only one you could think of.
So would you rather we just tell you? Like, I really want to go to Hawaii?
Okay. Yeah, but here's the thing. I know that's physically impossible. I know that as a woman, you have to process 1,500 choices that you don't want to consider. You just want to think about considering them. This is one of the great practical jokes of God, because the way a man's mind is measured, every one of those deserves some sort of quick decision. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. At some point, we're traveling to buy the yak that this guy bought because you wanted to think about it. I'm fine.
Are you okay? Deep breath.
The golden Tibetan yak cow purchase that this dude did was at 2 a.m. for the low price of $3,075.99, shipping included. The uploader doesn't provide any reasoning on why this individual who was on sleeping pills would have been searching yaks and things in his website or in his Google search.
He was trying to buy a yacht.
But at the update on the yak is, this is good news. He posted this on Facebook. I'm sure you would have all liked me to just let them deliver it, but my apartment complex would boot my butt into the street. The only thing worse than being homeless is being a homeless yak owner. I tell you, your donations would be strong.
At least you got a yak.
You got a yak sitting next to you on the street. People are going to take notice. My beagle Lucy would lose her mother something mind. I'm an astrophysicist, not Baron Moneybags, so I can't spend $3,000 on a yak just to amuse the internet. Hey, you ordered it, dude. Don't yell at the internet.
By the way, they've removed Kobe Bryant's heir from the eBay.
Oh, somebody bought it.
Well, no, somebody, eBay said no because it was a scam. Go figure. But guess how much the highest bidder had bid? $15,000.
Well, it's certainly worth it. I mean, please, come on. It's 920, dumbest thing you ever bought online, drunk, sober, or otherwise, late night, not late night. 312-981-7200. That's the texter line. We're back after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
I cannot wait to be your next president, if I'm elected, of course. Not getting ahead of myself in public. In private, I've been president for 15 years.
And Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders.
I am Bernie Sanders. I'm a voice for regular people. I'm not fancy. I'm not the elite. I put on my pants just like all of you. I sit on the edge of the bed and Jane pulls them up for me.
Well, Larry David is Bernie Sanders. Julia Louis-Dreyfus appeared on Saturday Night Live as well as a host. The new season of Veep. Did it start last night or is it next week? It started last night. I missed the first episode.
It's a good show.
But
I love
two
her.
Great shows coming back. Veep and Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley. Is you know, Mike Judge, the guy that did Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill. Uh-huh. Mike Judge was a coder, C-O-D-E-R, and he's written a show, which I think this is season three, about the nerds in Silicon Valley and the whole culture. It's a very funny show, very funny. And Veep is tremendous. But from Saturday Night Live, wouldn't it be great if Larry David had a run-in with Elaine from Seinfeld?
So listen, you've been pretty vague in the past, but how exactly are you going to break up the big banks?
You mean a big bank breakup?
Yeah, a big bank breakup.
Yeah, break them up!
How?
Once I'm elected president, I'll have a nice schwitz in the White House gym. Then I'll go to the big banks, I'll sit them down, and yada, 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 they'll be broken up.
A debate. Also, you yada yada over the best part.
No, I mentioned the Schwitz.
So good. So good. So this brings me to one last piece Saturday night, I had an opportunity to help an organization in Naperville. And remember, we talked about it Friday before we had the show. Kids Matter.
Yeah.
It's kidsmatter2.org. And it's an organization through music and arts, gives kids avenues to make healthy choices about their life, and deals with raising monies for the fight for good emotional and mental health as well. So anyway, it was a talent show and a dinner. And at the talent show, one of the young artists was a kid named Seven. Now, if you're a Seinfeld fan, that was a key Seinfeld episode. George wanted to name his future child Seven in tribute to Mickey Mantle. And he was so thrilled about the idea, he told another couple that were expecting their child first, and they stole the Seven name. So this kid plays this Billy Joel piano man. His name is Seven Acosta. The parents have to be Seinfeld fans, don't they?
Yeah.
They have to be.
Yeah.
So he's probably 14, maybe. And there's a line in the first verse of the song, making love to his tonic and gin. So the producer of the show asked me to sing the line.
No.
So instead of walking off, during that, I stood next to him, looking like I was going to be the lounge singer. And then Seven and I did the thing where, where he plays, he pauses, he sings the first chunk, and then I do making love to his tonic and gin. And then I asked him if we should go on tour, and he told me to lose the number.
Exactly, yeah.
But it was perfect for me to do Billy Joel because more people than ever stop me on the street and go, "You look like Billy Joel." And I go, "You're the old broken down one?" Yeah, that's me.
Seven sounds cool, though.
Good kid.
Yeah.
A lot of great talent. So if you get an opportunity to take a look at the website, Kids Matter 2. Kids Matter. Check that out for me. Make sure I'm right about the website before I plug it again. Kids Matter, the number 2.org. And I'm pretty sure that's right. It's off the top of my head. But a nice job by all the people involved.
It's kidsmatter2us.org.
Okay. And are there different branches?
Yes.
Because we were in Naperville.
This is the Naperville one, yeah.
Okay. Kids Matter 2.
2.
Us.
Us. Dot O-R-G.
Okay. Kids number Matter. Two. The number 2. Us.org. 9:29. We'll come back and go through some more of your text. Dumbest thing you ever bought online. And if anybody bought a yak, I'll give you everything on the price sheet. Back after this on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Dr. Sam Ristich standing by from the Indian Prairie Animal Hospital.
You know, I was been dealing this week. I was surprised how many people forgot the poop samples.
Uh-huh.
And they said, "Oh, I'll bring it back later. I put it in a refrigerator."
Gross.
I heard that 3 or 4 times this week.
Oh, you got to get rid of those people.
Mm-hmm. Never put your pet's poop in a refrigerator. Bad idea, Steve. I think I'd like to leave the show with that thought.
Now, I believe, because I know Dr. Sam very well, he's a very good friend. I believe Dr. Sam is one of the best vets there is, period. But I also believe one of his great charms is he's a little bit nuts.
No.
Yeah. And I believe he does every show and pushes it to the line just so his mom and dad, who are lovely people and listen all the time, so his mother, not his father, his mother could go, "Oh, Sammy, did you have to say that?"
You think she said that on Friday?
Oh, yeah.
He's not wrong, but...
Yeah. No, it's a good lesson to take out of the show.
Right.
At 9:41, more texters now. This is off the guy that ordered the yak online. And then I'll give you these texts, and then wait till you hear the worst jobs in America, according to a survey printed on posted on America Online over the weekend. Worst jobs in America. We made the list.
Okay, I knew that was coming.
815 texter says, "My friend ordered an antenna online. It looked bigger. It was 4 inches high."
Oh, it was like a little mini one.
Little baby antenna. I don't think that's going to help you out. Had to add this one, too. People who order faux anything. Hello, people. Faux. Fake. If it says faux, it's probably not good to order. That's probably almost always true.
Wait a minute. That's bad? Hold on.
Reggie's down.
Faux fur is nice stuff. We order that all the time, don't we, Andrea?
You order fur online?
Well, not online, but we buy faux fur.
If you're going to buy something that says faux, don't you want to eyeball it to see how faux it is?
That's a pretty word, though, faux. It's French.
708 texter. "I bought a Woodstock t-shirt on eBay for a birthday gift for a hippie. Got Woodstock from the Peanut cartoons instead."
When you said Woodstock, I thought of Woodstock from the Peanuts first.
Hey, if you're doing a t-shirt, There's a couple places that do great custom shirts. Just Google custom t-shirts, and you'll get a ton of them. But there's two or three. Like, I use Custom Ink a couple of times, mm-hmm. and you can make shirts, and they deliver on time, and they're cool.
Yeah, they're very cool.
Like Ross, before he left the show, you know, had this thing, it's hard to work for you when I have to work with you.
Yes.
So I made that a shirt.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, are you going to give those to all of us? Oh, no, that's just for you.
No, it's because you guys are all thrilled with me.
Remember you had an intern one time make a Steve Cochran Show t-shirt? And they had to be as creative as possible. So the one was at the auto show and made that spray paint t-shirt.
That was cool. What was that kid's name?
Casey, I think.
Casey. He was great.
He was a good intern.
He works for Google now.
And he got to start making spray paint t-shirts for you.
Well, at one point in the auto show, he's the guy. We had two interns. Remember those days? We had two interns, and I threatened to lock one in the trunk if they came back with less stuff in a goodie bag than the other. So they had a goodie bag race
at the
auto show.
That was a good experience for them.
And that's an old game we should bring back. Lock the producer in the trunk.
Jake, it's going, what?
Well, it's not going to be Sandberg. 708 texter says, after suddenly coming into some money, I bought 7 leather jackets on eBay over the course of several months. Spent $1,700.
Okay, well, let me just say one thing. Maybe the first one didn't fit. Maybe the second one was the wrong color, so that's not too crazy.
But $1,700 has to be a cumulative number.
Yeah.
So that doesn't sound like they're sending them back. By the way, I've never sent anything back I bought online. Is that a pain? It's got to be, right?
Look at my to-do list for today.
Sending stuff back?
2 packages, yeah. So, yes, I do it all the time. It is a pain.
I just figure if I bought it and it's wrong, I made the mistake, I got to eat it. So that and the fact that I'm too tired to put it in a package and send it back.
You're like their dream.
Yeah, I really am.
Amazon's good about taking stuff back.
I got Jeff Bezos' cell phone. Can I just call him?
You could, I guess.
Do you really?
815 texter, Nana would buy stuff on TV all the time and trick us kids into taking it home for us to mom to deal with. Like a new wave oven, NUWAVE, I don't know what that is. All sorts of juicers, handheld sewing machines, and more.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff like that. Remember when you used to have to send in lollipop wrappers to get toys online? Okay, forget it.
No.
It was the 80s,
Dave. It was the 80s.
We were adults at that point. A texter from 773. I didn't buy a yak, but I bought an alpaca 5 years ago. I was lonely, dry. Lonely and drunk and an alpaca was a good idea. If you're lonely and drunk, you know, a woman might be the way to go, but an alpaca,
it's practical.
Alpacas are cute and friendly and they bite like hell. It stayed in my backyard in McHenry until 2 years ago when I sold it to a local farmer.
Did you just advocate buying a woman online?
No.
Okay.
No. Just saying, you know, get out of the house, you know, meet people. By the way, you got a website for that? Because the audience is going to want to know.
No.
All right, you want to know the 10 worst jobs in America? This is an AOL survey. And I know what you're saying. If it's AOL, when was it printed? No, it was this weekend. Number 10, and these are based on salary and ability to get the job. So in other words, limited job opportunity combined with salary, they came up with a score.
Is number 10 working for AOL?
Number 10. AOL did not make the list.
No.
Number 10, firefighter.
Oh.
Tough to get the job. Underpaid.
Dangerous.
Now, this is not our words. I want to make this clear. There's no worse saying. This is according to the survey. Number 9, taxi driver. Yeah, with Uber, that makes total sense. It would suck to be a taxi driver. Number 8, advertising salesperson. I don't agree with this at all. They say the growth outlook for advertising sales is a negative 3%. Advertising sales is huge.
Huge.
And it's not just huge in broadcasting. It's huge. Yeah, the numbers change, and certainly newspaper advertising is probably a tough sale. But if you're good at it here, you can make a ton of money. You can make a ton of money in television. And certainly if you're good at selling advertising, Google would love to get a call from you. Facebook would love to get a call from you.
Yeah, think of the commission, too.
Stupid survey. Number 7, retail salesperson. This goes to the fact that people are ordering online alpacas, and they're not going to the alpaca hut at the mall.
Plus, you don't have to wait in line. Online.
Yeah, and I think there's stress there, too.
Yeah.
You know? Number 6, pest control worker. I mean, it's a tough job, but there's always going to be pests.
Okay, but you have to actually either engage in combat with those pests, or you have to remove the dead ones.
Yeah, it's kind of saying I'd like to do it. I'm just saying it seems like there's always going to be job opportunity. They say negative growth outlook. So does that mean we're going to quit fighting the pests?
I don't know.
We're going to give up.
I thought we got to deal with all these rats.
And coyotes. Yeah.
Did you hear Dave's coyote story this morning?
Uh-oh, he saw one?
A coyote was having breakfast in his backyard.
next to our house, my wife saw it during the Blackhawks game.
Oh, it was yesterday?
Yeah, I was at the game, and she said there was a coyote eating a squirrel.
That's the circle of life.
Right.
That's what it is. Number five, enlisted military personnel. Underpaid, overstressed.
Yeah,
makes total sense.
Definitely underpaid.
Number four, disc jockey.
Okay, bingo.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I want to tell you right now, if somebody offers you the afternoon show on The Mix, tell them, no, thank you. I'd rather do something more fulfilling or something with a longer lifespan, like, say, fireman. Number three, broadcaster.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's I knew there was a point to this list.
Yeah. Now they're getting personal.
Right. Yeah.
They're saying broadcasting is a negative 10% growth outlook. Not if you're at the right place. It doesn't. Depends on where you're working.
Well, so disc jockey was really like club DJ.
No.
Because
broadcast disc jockey.
But then that would be both the third and fourth.
Yeah, you could have combined it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number two, logger.
logger?
Not someone that keeps a log. Someone that goes out and cuts down trees. The average salary, according to the survey, for a logger is $35,000.
That's
if you're cutting down a big tree, you need to be making more than $35,000.
Maybe it's seasonal, though, because you can only really log.
Well, you need a lot of time
off
after the tree falls on you so you can recover.
No, not that far.
And the number one worst job in America, according to this survey, newspaper reporter.
Oh, poor paper reporters.
Well, it's tough, but
they
tough times.
A tough job.
Tough times for
it
newspapers.
It was once a very glamorous job.
Big deal, yeah.
Big time.
Tough time for reporters. We'll check the text one more time. And again, dumbest thing you ever bought online. Could you beat a yak? I don't mean literally, because you shouldn't, because a yak will be angry. Bill and Wendy coming up as well on 720 WGN. Sounds like the opening to a Quinn Martin detective show from the 70s. See Mannix running down the street. Kojak punching out somebody. Before we run out of time, and we will, Alabama Governor Robert Bentley is having a lot of problems. Bentley is accused of a sex scandal and is being asked to step down or be impeached. But there's more. Apparently, he left his wallet in Tuscaloosa. Wasn't that a Conway Twitty song? I left my wallet in Tuscaloosa. He left his wallet in Tuscaloosa when he headed off for his beach house. So his aide sent a state police helicopter to get his wallet because he needed it at the beach house to be able to buy stuff. That little jaunt cost $4,000 for the taxpayers of Alabama.
I'm sure they were thrilled about that.
Here's his excuse. I requested they deliver my wallet. I didn't know how they were going to do it. I didn't request that a helicopter be used. You know, it's great. It's great when a politician throws others under the bus that do the job for him. You have to have your wallet for security reasons. I'm the governor, and I had to have money. I had to buy something to eat. You have to have identification. Bentley's about to be impeached over his unrelated sex scandal. He'll probably have limited chopper use after that.
Mm-hmm. How about do what the rest of us do when we lose our things? Call your credit card company and cancel it and say, can you send me a new one?
Well, how about you drive back on your own? Or how about you have a staff person get in the car? You know, the idea that somebody would take the helicopter back to get the governor's wallet without the governor going, take the helicopter, is ridiculous.
Do you know who he looks like a little bit, Governor Bentley? Scott Glenn in Silence of the Lambs. Doesn't he? When I first saw that, I was like, wait, it's Scott Glenn.
Yeah, there's a little bit of Scott Glenn in him. Back to the texters. Dumbest thing I ever bought online. 224 texter says, bath salts, K2, and cheap Viagra. I don't know what's going on at your house, dude, but it sounds busy. 502 texter. About 30 years ago, my grandma thought she was buying a gazebo on a Black Friday sale. It was a great, great deal. Turns out it was just the directions and plans for the gazebo. It didn't include the gazebo. Grandpa felt bad about the fact that Grandma felt bad, so he bought all the supplies and built it for her.
Oh, that's nice.
Nice.
What are you doing, building the gazebo?
He loves his wife. That's very sweet. Nice. Kid of the week tomorrow. Kid of the week tomorrow. Oh, we're gonna have Orion on. Orion's schedule's been so crazy. On Tuesdays, we plan on having Orion on, a little catch up time with Orion. So hopefully, he'll be able to do that tomorrow. But Kid of the Week, get your nominations in for the Kid of the Week at WGNRadio.com/contest. You can submit an entry for a kid between 5 and 18 and follow those directions there. Some kid will be named tomorrow, and some kid will be chosen for Kid of the Year at the end of the year. It's all sponsored by Ray Chevy in Fox Lake and Raymond Chevy in Antioch. And see all the inventory at rayandraymonddeals.com. Back with Bill and Wendy next.